Something the Lord's laid on my heart this week. Of course, Thanksgiving's coming up next week. And we're going to be talking today about attitude of gratitude. Attitude of gratitude and how important it is to have that. I don't know about you, but do you find it hard sometimes to really feel gratitude in your life? I mean, I do. Really feel grateful for something. You know, most people, I would say, would probably admit that we're all pretty self-sufficient, meaning that basically, as far as our immediate needs go, we don't really probably have to look to God for a lot of help, because we have pretty much food we need and shelter, different things. I think self-sufficiency probably makes us hard to experience gratitude in our life, and I know it does with me. I'm pretty self-sufficient in a lot of ways, but to me, gratitude is one of those positive, healthy emotions that we all need to have. We need to have it. And our challenge is being grateful in an ungrateful world. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8 is a passage I want to look at today. Colossians 2, verses 6 to 8, and it says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than to Christ." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be here today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the ultimate teacher. You're the one who leads us and guides us into all truth. We bind up the devil in any way, shape, or form from trying to bring a disturbance or to try to distract us and to steal the Word of God out of our hearts in any way, shape, or form. Lord God, I thank you for the gift you put inside of me. I want to use it for your glory, Lord. I pray for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And Lord, just want to glorify you with everything we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the first thing we're going to look at today is the idea of gratitude is an attitude. And that's what it is. The word gratitude, what it means is the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for, and to return kindness. Now, I know there's a lot of kind people in the world, and I believe there's a lot of kind people living here today. But, you know, I really feel that gratitude is something that we can really miss out on unless we really learn how to do it. One thing that, you know, is really helpful is if you count your blessings and not your problems. Now, this is something that we need to continually do. The sad thing is negative stuff gets more press than positive stuff, right? If you look at the news or anything going around, you know, people don't usually come up and tell you a lot of good news all the time. They're wanting to tell you the bad stuff going on. Did you hear about so-and-so? Or did you hear about this? Or this is that, you know, and the things going on. But we need to learn how to count our blessings. And sometimes, you know, like I said, we're so self-sufficient that sometimes we just take so many things for granted. But I think what happens if we start to count our blessings is the idea that we take our eyes off ourselves and then we put them back on God, because that's where they need to be. Because if we get our eyes off self, then we can start to see the world around us. See, I think attitudes are feelings. And to me, feelings can be manipulated. Have your feelings ever been manipulated by somebody or someone, you know, someone or something? You know, just by some outside influence or something that comes in, all of a sudden it causes you to feel a certain way. And see, that's what happens, and that's why we need to be aware of that. So as the same way that sometimes things can cause us to feel bad, I think they can cause us to feel good. And one of the ways that we do it is that words are that we speak. What's coming out of our mouth? See, words are important and how we use those words. You know, to me, words create an environment. If I tell my wife, "Boy, you look nice today," that creates a different environment than, "Oh, what are you wearing that for?" You know? How many's been down there, men, or whatever? You know, we learn as we go, don't we? Sometimes we're slow learners. But, you know, the words that we speak are very important. And, you know, sometimes we say things wrong. And that just happens because we attract what we speak. And so that's why it's important that we learn how to govern our tongue. and ask the Holy Spirit to come in and to be able to take control. To me, words can be toxic or a tonic. Now, tonic's not a word that we use a lot anymore. Back in the old days, tonics was things that you took that made you feel better. But I do believe positive words, as we speak those in our life, especially the Word of God, it's going to bring healing to our life. You might have had a bad start in life. You know, maybe the enemy's come in, and maybe, you know, due to the things that happened to you as a kid or things that's happened to you right now, people have framed you into a certain picture. But I believe you can turn that around. You can turn that around by changing the words that you speak. You don't have to settle for what other people say you are. You have to accept who God says you are. And when we accept who God says we are, we can start to change and to be able to turn our situation around. Now, this scripture here talks about something in verse 8. It talks about to make sure that no one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deception. And see, we live in a world where the world tries to conform us and make us into his image and makes us feel like we have certain things. See, the world tells you that you deserve things. And granted, you know, we do deserve a few things, but primarily the world tries to get us feeling that we deserve a lot of things. See, the world system promotes a sense of entitlement rather than appreciation. And we do live in a system in the United States now where many people feel entitled to certain things. Now, I believe we're entitled to unalienable rights. You know, there's some of that. That's what it says, you know, in our legal documents to be an American. But primarily, we're not entitled to a lot of things that people think we're entitled to. But really, we need to see what God's Word says and what God says that we're entitled to. We're entitled to the fact that we're a child of God and that we're in the family of God and that Jesus Christ has set us free and we have the power to overcome sin in our life. And I don't think we need to bow our knee to the things of this world. Now, I don't believe most people are born a jerk. You know what I'm saying? They're not born that way. They're a product of the environment and the things that they've been raised in, words that have been spoken over them. And we need to be able to turn that around because I think it's hard to be grateful for things we feel we deserve. And I want us to get to the fact today that what does gratitude really mean and how is that going to affect the way that we live our life? And as we get later on in this message, we're going to see the positive effects. See, I remember growing up as a kid, we were a farm family and worked on the farm. And, you know, we weren't rich, but we weren't poor, you know what I mean? Dad started out farming and time you have to buy all your ground, a lot of stuff that you have, you put back into the investment and things like that. But I do remember my great-grandma, and I've shared this before, we would have Christmas down there every year. And they were old when I met them, you know what I'm saying? And they were poor. They lived in an old house, and all their furniture was old and wore out. And it just, you know, it was very evident to me that we were better off than them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they come from a family of, I think they had 13 kids or something, I can't remember how many. And you know, and time you multiply that and you get all the kids and the grandkids, you can imagine how expensive Christmas would be. You know what I'm saying? Well, she made all her gifts by hand. She started right after, I think in January or something, I can't remember the whole story, but making things. And I remember getting one. I still remember this one for, you know, there's two I remember. One was an owl, cut out an owl and had a place to put pencils as a pencil holder. And the other one was a little thing she knitted and had a little paper with it, and it was kind of a thermometer, it said. It said, if this is wet, it's raining. If it's dry, you know what I mean? Just little quotes like that, and I don't remember all of them. I think I saved that stuff. I don't remember where it's all at. But, you know, as a kid growing up, I wanted Tonka trucks. You know what I mean? Or Hot Wheels. You know, I wanted stuff like that. But I knew, you know, that she put a lot of care into making those things. But yet, I didn't really appreciate it until I got older. And to top it off, they were very generous people. They didn't have anything to give, but they gave anyway. And to my knowledge, they were some of the happiest people that I remember growing up. They always smiled. They were just so thankful. And they were Christians. But you know, You don't have to have a lot of stuff to be grateful. And that's what it really showed me, is the fact that it made such an impact on my life, because what I really feel is gratitude is a superpower. It helps us to live above our circumstances. And that's a superpower that God has come to give us. That we can live above our circumstances if we start to appreciate the things that we have and the things that are around us. And stop feeling so entitled. The second point I want to talk about is that gratitude is contagious. See, gratitude is contagious because it is spread by contact, person to person. When somebody's grateful, gives you gratitude and shows gratitude to you, you're more apt to share gratitude with other people. And that's why it's contagious. You know, we can either cop an attitude or we can catch an attitude, right? Have you ever copped an attitude, or maybe your kids have? Or maybe somebody you're setting to, you can elbow them right now. They have a tendency to cop an attitude every now and then. You know, when you cop an attitude, it makes us think that we're above others. And it makes us think that we're overly self-important. Have you ever met somebody like that? Or are you somebody like that? Right? We can get that way, can't we? Where we feel we're overly self-important. We're more important than this person or that person. Just because of maybe what we have or what we do. And see, that's why we need to make sure that we have that grateful attitude where we learn how to appreciate others. And this is hard sometimes. Can you look around to other people or people in your life and you can really think of things, why do I appreciate that person? You know what I mean? Why do I appreciate them? What have they done in my life? But I think that when we have gratitude, it appreciates my life. But lack of gratitude depreciates my life. See, when I have that self-important or attitude that I may be better than others, or I'm self-sufficient, that I don't need anything from anybody else, you know, it depreciates my life. Because God wants to teach us the idea of what it means to be dependent, dependent on Him, on how we can learn that we're not as good as we think we are, but the fact that we need God. See, to me, it's humbling for me when people are so grateful for things that I take for granted. And that's what I felt about my great-grandma, as well as other people I could probably name in my life. I mean, it's kind of irritating. I'll be honest, I'm just being transparent here. Sometimes when people are grateful for little things, I mean, it irritates me if I'm not careful. It's my flesh. Why are you thankful for that? But they are, and they're always smiling. They're always happy because they've learned how to appreciate things, no matter how trivial, how small. And when they get into that, it starts to bring them into a place in God that I would like to be to. You know, there's a movement in America called Pay It Forward. I don't like that name. I like the law of sowing and reaping. That's more biblical, but Pay It Forward is similar to that. You know, and studies have shown that the happiest, most fulfilled people are those with a deep sense of gratitude in their lives. And if we can develop that deep sense of gratitude, it makes our life go better. It brings healing properties to our emotions and everything. We learn to be happy, and we learn to be accepting of other people around us, and to be able to make a difference in their life as they make a difference in ours. Because I believe that people mimic what they see. They're copycats. You know, we copy what we see around us. If you look at the young people today, they have, you know, just watch the trends. Everybody likes to copy each other. Personally, I like to be a trendsetter, but anyway, I'm not all the time. But, you know, the idea of how we want to be like everybody else, because they have that. So let gratitude be that. You know, we teach our children because they forget like we do. You remember when your kids were little and you get them a Christmas present or some kind of gift and they open it up and they play with the box? You know what I mean? You spent maybe big money on this gift. And they're over there playing with the box. And you just, dear Lord, no, here's your gift. Oh, no, that's okay. I want to play with the box. You know, why not just get them a box? You know what I'm saying? You new parents, you know, you can do that for a few years. But it wears off after a while, believe me. Because it's not soon later, $80 blue jeans. You know what I'm saying? $250 shoes. They don't play with the box no more. They want what's in the box. And see, that's what we do. We don't we have to have certain things before we're appreciative. Why? Because so-and-so has it. They have an iPhone this number. Why can't I have that? You know, they have this kind of shoes. Why can't I have that? You know, if I don't want these. These aren't good enough because they're not name brand. I'd like to start a business where you get name brand stickers and sell them so parents can start sewing them in the clothes. You know what I mean? I know it'd probably be illegal, but you know, just so, you know, they don't have to go broke, you know, trying to make their kids happy. You'll never make them happy. Teach them how to appreciate things. Then they will be happy. All the kids hate me right now. I'll probably hear about it Wednesday night at youth. But you know, don't get so caught up in things. Now, are we always complaining about what we don't have or what we're grateful to have? And you know, that's just an art because complaining will drag us down. You know, how many are really grateful when you finally find somebody at Walmart that's going to help you? You know what I mean? I mean, I think we all are. I mean, I'm not a shopper. I don't want to go down every aisle. I don't want to look and touch at everything. I have a list. And I want to go find that list. And if I don't know where something's at, I ask for help. I don't want to go looking for it. You can ask my wife, if it's not in the front, I don't find it. You know, it's got to be right accessible for me to really enjoy it. So anyway, at Walmart, I remember one time, you know, you couldn't find anybody anywhere. I don't know if there's a mass break or what happened, but after 10 minutes, I found somebody. I was so excited. I was so grateful. Till I found out it wasn't their department. Bummer. So then I had to go back out looking again. You know what I'm saying? You know, but can we be grateful when we find some help? See, it's not their fault they're understaffed. You know what I mean? We usually take it out on the people, don't we? The workers. You know, when we finally do somebody, oh, finally. That's the first thing that comes out of our mouth. Well, you just set the tone for that conversation right there. You know what I'm saying? Instead of saying, oh, thank you. Could you help me? You know, and maybe you'll get a little more service. I mean, I remember when we was in Greece, and I've told this story before, but the Greeks never liked to admit that they didn't know something or, you know, they felt stupid in front of Americans. So if you asked them directions for something, they would tell you even if they didn't know. They would just point over that way. So I learned, like I do at Menards, I've told you my little trick. I ask three people, and if two say the same thing, I go with it. And I learned that over in Greece because they would send you off on a wild goose chase. You know, because you wouldn't get the information right. So I would ask two or three Greeks, three, and if two of them told me the same way, I knew that that's the way we went. Because you can really get lost over in Athens. I mean, doing that when we was over there doing missionary work. Lastly, the idea of gratitude brings happiness is what I want to get to. See, verse 7 in the New American Standard uses the word gratitude. I know other translations use thanksgiving. But it talks about overflowing with gratitude. I don't know, when you picture overflowing, I picture a glass and you just keep dumping. You know what I mean? It just keeps coming out, and overflows into our life. And really, that's the kind of gratitude that we need to have, the gratitude that's overflowing. You know, people who are grateful have more satisfaction in life. I believe gratitude is one of the key ingredients in a healthy marriage. Are we grateful for our mate? Do we appreciate our mate? Or do we always fault find, out what they're doing wrong instead of really trying to see what they're doing right? I think if we major on the things that they're doing positive and the things that are good, I believe that's going to have a positive effect on any relationship that we have. You know, I have a critical eye. I mean, it helps me for like when I work construction or different things. I can walk into a room and I can see what's wrong in the drywall, in the electrical problems, in the flooring. I just pick up stuff just like that. If I do that in my marriage, I'm sleeping on the couch. You know what I'm saying? Because if all I do is pick, it's not going to be, my wife's not going to feel how grateful I am for what she does. Because all I'm doing is speaking the negative. You know, I may find two or three things wrong, but there might be 20 things right. All the people married say amen, right? Amen. You know, that's right. We just got to look at those good things. So don't be a fault finder. And how this happens is be thanksgiving. Okay, chasing after God more than we're chasing after stuff. And that's how we overflow with gratitude. Now, the Bible here tells us in verse 7, I believe it talks a little bit about this. It talks about the idea of comes by being firmly rooted and established in our faith. You know, how many trees do you see just pick it up and move into another location? They don't do that. Why? The roots are going down. See, our roots really have to go down in God, and then we're going to start to see that. See, if we're just living by the world system, by how the world tells us we should act and how we need to blend into them, we're never going to be able to get to a grateful spot in our life. But if we get to the fact that we know how we're rooted in God and knowing what Jesus Christ has done for us, we can never hear the gospel message too much, because each position we are in life, we're at a different place of maturity and we grow in that. But see, as soon as you can go down, then the next thing it says, then we're built up. See, if you're building any structure, you got to go down deep before you can go really tall. And see, if you want to go tall in Jesus Christ, you have to go deep in Jesus Christ. Meaning you have to be rooted down in Him and then start to build up your house based on what God says. You know, is God's word the final answer in our life? You know, when we look at the things that God says to be thankful for, you know, but, you know, He says, come in with thanksgiving in our heart, you know, when we come into the house of God. Are you thankful you came to church today? Probably not now, but maybe you should be, amen? You know, we need to be grateful. Then it talks about the next thing after being built up. It says to be established. That word establish is talking about a legal document. It's a binding document. Have you bound yourself to God's word and what God says in a legal way where it can't be broken? See, gratitude is a three-step system. First, you feel it in the heart. I remember one time, I've told this before, I was littler and I was at swimming. And I still think of this from time to time. I don't know why. But we was over in the 12-foot. That was in the old pool. And I don't know why. None of us could swim, but we were hanging on the side, and we're supposed to go down and get them black heels or something. And anyway, I got too far from the edge. And I was going down. I thought I was going to die. I'm kidding you. Not. All of a sudden, fear came over me. Water was going in my mouth and nose. And I think the lifeguard was flirting with the other one. You know what I'm saying? They weren't exactly watching us, you know? So I looked out of my eye, and they're over there talking to some girl, and I'm just going, oh, Lord, I'm going down. This is over. All of a sudden, I reached out, and I caught some boy's arm. And I don't know who that boy is to this day. And I pulled myself to the side. I was so grateful. I told him, I know it sounds weird. I said, thank you. You saved my life. And that's how Jesus Christ did for us. We were going down. We could not save ourselves. I couldn't swim. I was in over my head like many of us are in life. And I reached out and I grabbed a hold of Jesus and He saved my life. And I'm grateful for that. And that's where we need to be in our walk with God. So it begins with that feeling in the heart. Then we express it with the words. I tell everybody how grateful I am for what God did. And then we need to have corresponding action or giving in return, reaching out to a lost and dying world. So the keys to gratitude, bringing happiness, because I believe we all want to be happy. Number one, see the good. When you're in any situation, no matter how bad it gets, can you see the good? You know, the other day I mentioned we blew a tire. Well, I went home to put air in it. The hole was in the sidewall. As soon as I put it in, it just pshht right over my face, you know. It was hard to be grateful. But I'm grateful we got a new set of tires on the front. We're going to have better traction this winter. Amen? You know, if not, I know I would have put it off for another year or so. I'd have rode that horse as long as she would have went, you know. But I'd have needed pushed out every time, because we live on an alley where we park. So we got to see the good in the situations. Next, we need to believe the best. Can you believe the best about people? I know we need to be suspicious. We can't trust everybody. But, you know, I try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. And I think that helps me in life. Because when I see people, I don't see the bad. I see the good. I see some of the talents and things that they can do in life. And that's really helped me as a pastor. And lastly, we need to lead by example. You know, we need not just talk about it or think about it, but we need to go and do it. We need to lead by example and showing gratitude. So as we close here today, I want us to reevaluate, can we be grateful in an ungrateful world? You know, the world around us tells us, you know, we got all kinds of politicians right now telling us we deserve all these things. And that's fine. I mean, if that's, you know, how you want to roll. But, you know, there ain't nothing free. Somebody's got to pay. I mean, tell everybody, how many's told everybody, salvation's free? It is. But Jesus had to pay. You know, he paid the price. We get to keep the change, right? That's an old one. You got to write that down. That's a good one. You know, Jesus paid the price. We get to keep the change, a change that goes on in our life. So I want to challenge today, try to be grateful in an ungrateful world. And join us starting next Sunday as we go through this 21 days of how to be grateful. Amen? Let's pray.